Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
From the Fifth Quarter Studio in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to High School Hoops with your hosts, Steve Collins and Jake Steger.
Hey, coaches. Welcome, welcome, welcome. So excited to join us today in the podcast. Before we jump in, I'd like to give a big shout out to our two sponsors. First of all, Dr. Dish, the number one shooting machine on the market. Like I've said before, the technology behind this thing, I remember old school when they used to have those long metal racks. The ball would go up into this net and would come down this long metal rack. The technology and the ability that Dr. Dish does and all the people that work there and the things that they give back to the community is second to none. Mention Coach Unplugged, me, Coach Collins, or anybody, and they'll give you $400 off. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. It's the one-stop shop. It's got clinics. It's got handouts. It's got breakdowns. It's got on-court things teaching you. You know, I'm not upselling you. I'm not doing those kind of things. I'm not making you pay for the clinic videos. I'm giving you everything that we got to make you a better basketball coach, along with me, someone that's won at the highest level in the U.S., been nationally ranked. I want to help you become a better basketball coach, and that's why I started teachhoops.com. That's why I want to help you win more basketball games. Go over and check it out. And in closing, if you like our other podcast, 5-Minute Basketball Coaching Podcast, High School Hoops, Funnel Down, or this one, go leave a 5-star review. We really do appreciate that. And let's head off.
We have several people have asked questions on our Facebook page. And so one of the questions was, how do you establish your offense the first 2 weeks of practice?
That's a great question. I mean, so we're kind of tweaking our offense. So if anyone's listening to this, yep, better come scout us. I think it really has to be broken into small little pieces. So we have literally after tryouts, we have broken it down into small pieces where we're teaching them, you know, we're doing small sided games. We're teaching them specific moves or specific things that we want them to be able to do in the offense. And then we're bringing it back up into the entire offense. I think the problem, especially with a lot of youth coaches, is they just throw it in there. If they're running dribble drive or read and react, whatever they're running, and they just throw it in and they don't break it into, you got to break it into small skill sets. So I think, and we've talked about this, I think it's really important to map out your season, especially the first couple of weeks of what do you need in for your first opponent. And you definitely need a basic offense that probably can work against both man and zone. I mean, establishing it is important, especially if you're a fast or slow paced team. You have to establish that quickly and often. Some of the teams I've had, literally practice was a track meet. I mean, I would be tired after an hour and 20 minutes because it was, and then I've also had other teams where we just worked on setting screens and grinding and, you know, taking 35 seconds off the clock every time. So I think those things are extremely, what you establish early, for having 40 kids in your classroom, you can vouch for this. Those things that you establish early, on the offensive end are going to stick with you for a long time unless you have to break those habits. But how do you do it?
Well, I think first off, you have to look at the three components of a good offense, and you have to explain that to your players off. So no matter what you do offensively, you have to have really good spacing. You have to be able to have player movement and ball movement in everything that you do. I think if you can focus on that early in the season, you know, the perfect screening and all that stuff, it's not going to happen.
No.
If you need your guys to do that early, I think no matter offense that you're running, I think those are the three things you've got to constantly look at, almost like a rubric. You know, are we doing these things within our offense? And then you try to better those as you continue on throughout the season. You know, I think you made a great point is establishing your tempo. You know, that's huge. Because it is just it's trying to figure out what kind of team you're going to be early in the season.
You have to figure that out early too. And it's like, you got to establish it with them and it's a mental part.
And then you got to be careful how much you front load. You know, are you doing too many sets? Are you going five or six different offenses? And sometimes it's easier to be simple. I like to be very simple offensively and more complex defensively. And that's just been something that I've learned from years past is that, you know, sometimes it's really about getting a lot of shots off and finishing and keeping it simple offensively and then making defense a little bit more complicated in regards to making it harder on the opponent.
Defense is going to be farther along early too.
Right.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle, a run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
I think also then designing breakdown drills within your offense, you know, just don't choose breakdown drills because you think they're awesome. They have to be relatable to what you're doing offensively so you can constantly build on what you're doing.
Like if you're setting a lot of flutter screens, you got to do things with flutter screens. If you're setting back screens, if you're setting, you know, down, whatever, maybe you're not screening, maybe you're working on dribble drive and rotate, all those things, you have to build that in quickly and fast. I'm just referring to the half court part. If you're thinking tempo, oh my God, it's like that takes months unless they've been doing it since they're in third grade. The tempo thing is a harder thing. It's easier to slow them than then speed them up.
And one thing that I notice is that a lot of times people like to start things. I like to do things out of the side, out of balance, or out of inbounds. It seems like sometimes they just want to restart everything, like taking the ball on the top of the key. There's never in a game where you start in your offense with just starting in the top of the key.
Ooh, I love that. That's true.
And so often I think people make that mistake of constantly grinding and grinding in the half court. All right, let's go from a side out of bounce play into our offense.
Here's the question I have for you, and I've thought about this too. It's like, how often do we really get side out of bounces into offense or underneath into offense? You know, how many possessions in a game?
It's like, I think it's really about the progression game. I used to love to do progressions. All right, so we're going to go 4 or 5 minutes hard or 4 or 5 lengths down the court. Take a free throw, do it again, process, do it again, do it again, do it again. Because I just don't think you should constantly be stuck in the half court because I think it becomes monotonous. It doesn't become authentic. And it becomes too easy and kids don't cut. They just stand. They don't move. It's just not a good way to really build your offense. You want to try to do things out of the full court into your offense.
Yeah, and I think you hit a point too early that spacing part is really hard for them.
Right.
It is really hard for them to get that spacing down to truly understand what's going on.
And really, the spacing starts on the initial break to your area on the offensive side of the floor. You know, are our guys getting wide, you know, and that's hard to establish if you're constantly doing it in the half court, you know, you know, guys are, you know, you get them wide and stay wide and go into that and then start to take things away. People get comfortable in things that are happening. You know, if you're a pack line defense, maybe once in a while, you got to try to go against a defense that's going to play more up the line, start to challenge the defense to give them different looks or go five people on your offense and 6 guys on defense. Make it a little bit harder, you know, add some trapping, you know, all those things. you know, and be really good at one or two things early on. And then if you can do that, then you can go on to the next level. But you
right. Those are your building blocks. Those are your building blocks.
Slow to go fast.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. All right. Anything else on that? That's great. I think that don't overcomplicate things, I think, is one of the big takeaways too. You know, you don't need what you're going to be running 3 months from now in that first 2 weeks. You need the basics, and you need to pound the basics so that they learn to read things within your offense.
All right, Coach. Question of the day is, you had a away game. What's the one thing you always buy at a concession stand?
I don't do it. I'm a big blow pop person. So that's for volleyball. That's definitely a thing. But one of my assistants always buys the opposing school's popcorn. And then we have a running scale of who has the best popcorn.
I like that.
So we always say, I always ask, like, where does this rank? You know, it's like we always, so John always buys one, and then we kind of rank the popcorn. Because
I would say the only thing I ever buy it at a concession stand is usually a pick-me-up. So either a soda or something that get me going if I'm
right.
I'm dragging. Other than that, I never tend to buy anything because my stomach is too sick. And
yeah, the only good thing is, like, we usually sometimes have leftover hot dogs. They're so good. They're disgusting. If you do any sort of research on what's in a hot dog.
Yeah, but hot dogs in the grills are really good too.
Yeah, there's something about sitting in that water for 3 hours and then eating it tastes good.
Yeah.
It's so bad. I don't remember a lot of time we bought hot dogs in this house, but I had to basically Heimlich both of our kids on hot dogs. I did. I mean, it was like projectile. Yeah. It's like a huge choking hazard.
In the end, don't eat hot dogs either.
Yeah. Don't eat hot dogs.
All right. Live a longer life.
All right. Till next week, Coach.
Yep.
Couple weeks. Countdown.
Yep. All right. Sounds good. Bye.
Sports Social Podcast Network.